all the things that I was after and trying to get that I could not make it work. And all the time, it was over there in the plan of God.
Yes.
And I didn't have to make it work. Yeah. All I had to do was yield to it and by faith abound.
God has given to every person unique gifts and talents that help them fulfill His calling for their lives. Join Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore as they help everyone identify those areas of God's grace. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Would you join me again today in welcoming Brother Keith Moore to this studio and this broadcast? Praise God. Keith, I'm not only excited about this, I'm really encouraged about it, because in talking about something you said yesterday just went off inside me. Grace gives you an opportunity, and then grace provides you with the ability to carry out that opportunity.
Yeah.
And so... That grace enablement of God's power, God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things. People are struggling in this area and don't know what the struggle is. Mm-hmm. They don't know why they're hit so hard. Mm-hmm. And they're praying, asking God for the ability, asking God for the money, asking God for all of these things, and it just don't seem to be working out, Brother Keith. Yeah. That's the attitude of it. So, there's nothing wrong with the grace. There's something wrong with the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's, as the Lord leads you to do this beginning today, let's talk about how the Word describes and defines the way of locating that place. Mm-hmm. We know it's by faith. We've talked about that yesterday when we closed. The first thing that comes across to me is you're going to have to get out of that religious correctness that, well, I'm just a nobody. I'm just humble. Oh, shut up. You get real with this thing and begin to think soberly. God took my place and He shed His blood because He loved me. And God so loved the world, and I was part of that world, and He loved me.
Yes, sir.
Settle that. Mm-hmm. And then I know He has a place for me, and I know He wants me in it worse than I want to be there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, once you're to that place, you make that decision. If you don't make that decision, you're going to struggle the rest of your life. Even if you die and go to heaven, that's wonderful. But I'm telling you, you're missing out on heaven on earth, days of heaven on earth, and you're getting hell on earth, because even if you were anywhere close to what God has planned and you don't know what it is, and it's not what you're pressing into and believing for, you don't know what you are, then you wouldn't know it if you got there. Mm-hmm. So as the Spirit leads you, Brother Keith, bring us into this place. People are crying out to know how to do this.
Yes.
And they haven't been taught in most cases.
Well, like you're saying, the will of God is knowable. And God is not hiding from us His plan. And, you know, you hear people talk about it. People even think it's a sign of intelligence to be a deep thinker and try to fathom, who am I? Why am I here? People think those are unanswerable questions, but they're not. God gives us the answers in His Word and by His Spirit. We're supposed to know who we are. We're supposed to know what we are. We're supposed to know where we fit. We're supposed to know what we are supposed to do, our graces, our abilities, our giftings. We have a responsibility to find these things out. Our text that you read previous broadcast, it said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, it says, "Now God has set the members, every one of them."
Every one of them.
In the body as it has pleased Him. Of course, every word in that verse is significant, but God has set, not man. We don't set ourselves. Our parents don't set us. The government doesn't set us. Our pastor don't set us. God has set us, every one of us, in the body, in the specific place, as it has pleased Him.
He's already done that, hasn't he?
Already. And he, prior to this, he talks about the foot saying, because I'm not a hand, I'm not in the body. And he asked the question, well, is the foot not a part of the body because it's not a hand? Well, no, of course it's a part of the body. And he goes on with the ear and with the eye. Why would he give us this? Because we got body parts looking at other body parts and diminishing the value of their place by their being obsessed with that other body part, and then you got people trying to be a part that they're not.
Keith, let me ask you something here to set the stage as you go on into this. We're not talking about just church.
No.
We're talking about the scope of life.
The
God
whole
has
body of Christ.
He needs car dealers, lawyers.
Yes.
He needs doctors. He needs teachers. He needs preachers.
Yes.
He needs parking attendants.
Yes.
He has a plan for everything ever born into this earth.
It's a relatively small percentage of the body of Christ that are speaking gifts, like me and you.
That's right.
Small percentage. Most of the body of Christ are other parts, other gifts. But
and that don't make us special. We're here because of them.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Every body part is significant. He goes on to talk about in this chapter the body parts that you don't see, the body parts that are covered up are no less important. I mean, he goes on to talk about how valuable and important every body part is. But What I was saying is that people know that you and I and preachers and teachers and pastors and the fivefold ministry gifts are supposed to be fully committed to serving God. But people think if you're not a speaking gift, you can just go to church once in a while and pretty much do what you want. But if you love the Lord and you go to heaven, that's it. Well, no. Every body part is supposed to be equally committed to finding and filling their place as you or I are to our place.
Wow.
Their place may not be being a preacher or standing up in the pulpit, but it is no less a significant part of the body and job to be done. And they're supposed to be just as committed, just as sold out. They're supposed to be just as willing to sacrifice everything, give everything, commit everything as you or I are to fulfill our call in ministry.
Wow, praise God.
He said every one of them has been placed. So the first thing you brought up, you know, finding our place. Some of the first parts of finding your place is you must acknowledge every one of us has a place where we fit, and every one of us has a gift or gifts that qualify us for that place. I'll just read a few scriptures that established that. 1 Corinthians 7:7. I'll just go through them quickly and they'll have them on the screen. He said, every man, 1 Corinthians 7:7,
yeah,
every man has his proper gift of God.
Praise
one
God.
After this manner, another. They're different. They're not all the same, but every man has his gift.
Not every preacher, every man.
Every man, everybody. And man means male man.
Mankind.
And female man,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:7 says a similar thing. Ephesians 4:7 says, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." We read, I think it was yesterday's broadcast, in Romans 12.
Yeah.
And in previously, in that third verse, he said, "According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Everybody. 1 Peter 4. So this is the mouth of four witnesses already. Five counting 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man has received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And that lets you see, if you could be a good steward of something, you can be a poor steward of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because you have been given grace and gifts doesn't mean it's going to automatically operate, that you're going to automatically function in it. You can use it, you can develop it to its fullest potential, or you can let it lie dormant and do absolutely nothing with it. And there are individuals that are called to be certain parts of the body and to do certain jobs and functions in the body that never do it their entire lifetime.
Yeah, they never did.
And when they stand before the Lord, they'll have to give an account for a call and ministry in place that they never did one thing in.
There's more to being called of God than just come here.
Mm-hmm.
It fits into that what He has called you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are.
Yes.
Now, the Lord got that over to me when I was in student there at ORU. And the way He said this, it marked me forever. He said, "When you stand up before me and face what you've done in this body,"
mm-hmm.
He said, "think of it like this. You will stand up in front of the cutout of a minister of the gospel."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here you trying to fly airplanes, you trying to sell cars, you trying to do all this. He said, "You know, you're not going to be stood up from them. You're going to be stood up for what I called you."
Right.
And Keith, it got hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I quit struggling with it and said, "Yes, sir, that's what I am, and I don't care who knows it."
Mm-hmm.
"And I'm here to tell you right now, I will live and die and live forever."
Yeah.
"As a minister of the gospel," yeah, "of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's when things started turning around for me. Up until then, my life ain't been nothing but hell on earth.
Mm-hmm. You were trying to be something that wasn't your
place. I didn't want to be what He called me. That I was a foot trying to be something else, and I turned out to be just a stick in the mud, man. Nothing would work because I tried to use talent in certain areas.
Yeah.
I wanted to sing in the entertainment field, mm-hmm, and things like that. Well, that wasn't what I was.
Well, that was grace.
It was grace, but it wasn't grace for just singing some honky-tonk somewhere.
No, well, it wasn't for that purpose.
No, it wasn't for that purpose.
God graced you with that from birth, but it was to enable you to be what He called you to be. And so many, Brother Kenneth, are doing that. You see people that have success in different fields in the world that are ungodly and apart. You can tell they're talented.
Mm-hmm.
They're skilled. They're talented people. And the problem is, God gave them that grace, but not to do that. So they're abusing it and misusing it.
That accounts for why so many of them have come to really bad outcomes.
Yeah, yeah.
Their lives run short. They're sick and so forth.
Yeah.
That would account for that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's confusion. They're like, "Well, hey, I can do this. This must be what I am." Well, no, no. You can do it, but it's not for that purpose. You could never be happy there. You can never develop there. Some graces, the Lord said this to me years ago. He said, some graces you're born with. Some graces are added to you when you're born again. Some graces added to you when you fill with the Spirit. Some graces added to you at different phases of your life as you follow Him through. But every one of them are gifts from Him, gifts of enablement and empowerment. Graces that you're born with, it's easy to take credit for because it's always been with you.
Yeah, and I could sing and didn't know why.
Right. And you just think, well, that's just me. I'm good. I can do that. But it's the grace of God. And if He, you know, if He suspended it from you for a moment, you'd be clueless. You couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it.
It's a grace.
My goodness. My mother would, Mama would, I mean, she'd trap me into singing in church. And so she's after me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd do it. Keith, something would happen to me singing in front of a Sunday school class or singing in church.
Yeah.
And I'd think, why can't I do that during the week?
Uh-huh.
And I was clueless. I didn't know what anything about that. I wasn't born again. But I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to use it there?
No. And I look back on it now and I thought, well, that wasn't nothing but the grace of God, because I was running crosswise and against the very things that I was trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
because all of the blessing, all of the peace, all of the joy, all of the goodness that I was after, all the money, all the goods, all the things that I was after and trying to get, that I could not make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And all the time, it was over there in the plan of God.
Yes.
And I didn't have to make it work. Yeah. All I had to do was yield to it and by faith abound in it.
It's been taught by some in the church that you need to just be devoid of the desire for success. You know, you just need to give up on all that. No, that's natural in every one of us to want to succeed, to want to be good at something, to want to develop, to want to be that people recognize that you're good at that. The thing is, you're not to seek the glory for yourself. You're to find your place in God and succeed at that.
And let Him exist.
Let Him promote you and let Him get the glory out of the whole thing.
Absolutely. You get the peace and the goodness and all that. Let Him give Him the glory and enjoy it.
The Lord gave me this example when we first began teaching on this, of two individuals, a neurosurgeon and a top welder. And he said, either one of these, it takes tremendous skill. They're very different, but it takes tremendous skill and years of teaching and training and development to do what they do. He said, but you pull them out of their place. And he said, and you find a whole, they will seem useless and unable and valueless. You take a neurosurgeon, and he might be the best in his field, might be the best in the country, best in the world. And you take him out of the OR and you take him up on top of a 30-foot steel structure and tell him, okay, now we got to lay these steel beams here and this weld has to hold this certain amount of stress and weight. It's got to be like this. And he looks and they give him the helmet and they give him the tools and he says, I don't know.
I can't do this.
you can't, you mean you can't even strike an arc there? You can't. No. You know what setting to put on the machine? No. You know what material to use? You don't know how? No.
I don't want his building.
It'd be unsafe.
I don't want it.
You don't?
No.
But he could think about how he would feel. He doesn't know anything about how to do it. He has none of the skill to do it. He can feel useless. He can feel, he just wants to get out of there. And people around him can say, well, what are you doing up here? You know, Get down. Get out of the way. And it's not that he is useless. It's just you got the man out of his place. You take the welder. You scrub him up real good. You take him into the OR. They got a guy's head shaved and got markings on it. They said, okay, where do you want to start?
Not me. I'm getting up. I ain't staying here.
He's going, no. I don't, which instrument you want? No. Do you know what this is? No. You know what this is? No. You know what this means on the machine? No. He has to answer no to everything in there. And he's totally ignorant.
He would be so miserable in that place.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's going on here. The same guy going to school years and years and years learning how to be a neurosurgeon. But he's miserable in there because in his heart he's a welder.
Exactly.
That's been going on, hasn't it?
Well, you got ears trying to be eyes. You got feet trying to be hands. And it's always easy to look at the other person and you don't know anything about their life, you don't know anything about where they came from, and romanticize about what it's like to be that.
Yeah.
You know, I had one of my associates travel with me out on a meeting a while back, and he hadn't done it before. And we weren't a couple of days into it, and he said, man, this ain't so romantic. You know, this, you get up, you got to travel, you got to do this, and we were missing meals, and it just wasn't as glamorous as people thought it out to be. But it's easy when, you know, you step up on the platform and you combed your hair and they turn the lights on and think, oh, man, that's what I want to be. Well, you don't have a clue as to what it is.
No.
But here's the thing. If it's your call and your grace to do it, there's nothing else like it for you.
No.
And if you try to do what somebody else is called to do and grace to do, you're not only, you know, romanticizing and have a false idea of what their place and what they're even doing, but you are despising your call.
Oh, my.
And you're despising your grace. And the problem is, you're not the one that called you. And you're not the one that gave you that grace, so you're not despising yourself. You're despising the Lord.
Now, Keith, that gives birth to the word misfit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a misfit.
Yeah.
And some guy's just a misfit. He just doesn't fit anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he fits somewhere.
Yes.
He fits somewhere.
That's why we read those verses. Everyone, every man, everyone, every man, everyone.
Wow.
Everybody has a God-ordained place.
You have a God-ordained place. You're always closer to it than you think you are.
Hmm.
Begin with this. Father,
yes.
Your will be done.
Yes.
I'm willing to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
I yield to you. I yield to your word by faith in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now take me from here.
Yes.
To where I belong in Jesus' name. You'll be shocked. But the thing of it is, if you do that by faith, the blessing of it will begin to work in you and around you now while he's maneuvering you into that place.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Brother Keith and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. Homecoming 2010, August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. The 2010 Word Explosion Update in Columbia, South Carolina is the 14th through 16th of October at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Before the foundation of the earth, God created a place for you. There are talents you possess, abilities you have, things you can do that come naturally to you. That talent is the gift of God put in you. But what is that gift for? What do you do with it? And how do you use it? Understanding how God's grace works in your life gives you the ability to succeed. Your victory starts with a decision. to fulfill your potential, to develop your gift. The Grace of God package is Kenneth Copeland's 4-CD set, Your Wealthy Place in God, combined with Gloria Copeland's book, The Grace That Makes Us Holy. They are real-world, time-tested tools we provide to help you discover your God-blessed path. God's grace makes a place for you to share your talent. Your health, wealth, and protection are all a part of God's plan for you. God is not hiding it from you, and we have the tools to help you discover it. With God, impossible is nothing. Order the Grace of God package for just $16, and you'll receive both products at savings of over 40%. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. For phone orders, call toll-free 800-600-7395. The Grace of God package will reveal God's plan and direction for your life. For these and other KCM products, go to our website, kcm.org.
God never planned for you to be a failure. He never planned for you to be broke and hungry. He never planned for you to be unhappy. He never planned for you to be sick. He never planned any of this stuff for you. He has a plan for you that is absolutely beyond all humans can think or ask. I'm talking about Scripture. I can take you to Scripture after Scripture that proves it. The first step, the door, is Jesus. Come to me, he said. And he's the open door into that. If you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and your Savior, don't go another second. Don't breathe another breath. Do it right now. Just pray this out loud. Father,
Father,
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
Fill me with your precious spirit.
Fill me with your precious spirit.
Give me your plan.
Give me your plan.
I receive it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name, I'm a Christian.
Hallelujah.
I'm a believer.
Yes.
Oh, and God loves me.
God
now,
loves
if you
me.
Prayed that with Brother Keith and me today, let us know. I have this book. He did it all for you to help you get started reading your Bible. You don't need to be struggling with this book. It's written to you. And this will help you. I'll send it to you free and postpaid. And just a little simple brochure on how to study your Bible. It is that simple. Praise God. And you can just get as wild as the rest of us. Praise the Lord. We love you and God loves you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Keith Moore, reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland online at kcm.org.